नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 28, Krishna rescues Nand Maharaj from the abode of Varuna. Text 14. Iti sanchintya Bhagavan Mahakarmaniko Harihi Darshayamasa Lokam Swam Gopanam Tamasah Param इति संचिन्त्य भगवान महाकारुणिको हरिः दर्शयामास लोकं स्वं गोपानां तमसः परम् इति संचिन्त्य भगवान महाकारुणिको हरिः दर्शयामास लोकं स्वं गोपानां तमसः परम् Synonyms, translation and purport by the humble disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki? Yeah. Synonyms. Iti, in these words, sanchintya, considering to Himself, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mahakarunikaha, the Most Merciful, Harihi, Lord Hari, Darshayam Asa, showed Lokam, the planet Vaikuntha, Swam, his own, Gopanam, to the cowherd men, Tamsaha, material darkness, Param, beyond. Translation. Thus, deeply considering the situation, the all-merciful Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, revealed to the cowherd men his abode, which is beyond material darkness. It is clear from this verse that the Absolute Truth dwells in his own. It is clear from this verse that the Absolute Truth dwells in his own eternal abode. Every one of us tries to live as comfortably as possible, surrounding ourselves with peace and beauty. How can we, in the name of logic, begrudge the Supreme Lord, our Creator, the supremely beautiful and comfortable abode known by people in general as the Kingdom of God?
Om Jnana Timirantasya Jnananjana Sarakaya Chakshun Miditam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Trayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadhati Shapatantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapada Kamanam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrashatam Sahagana Raganatan Vitamstam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Pradijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamstra E Krishna Karuna Sindho Tina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kamsana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Gopitarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Bhyevacha Satitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Shadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Iti Sanchintya Bhagavan Mahakarunika Harihi Darshayamasa Lokam Swam Gopanam Tamasa Param. The Lord had been reflecting on the general ignorance of people who think that working hard in this world for sense gratification is the real business of life, and who are ignorant of the real goal. Of course, he was thinking also at the same time of the Brajbasis and of their sankalpa, their imagination, that, oh, there must be a higher world, a spiritual world. And we should, I wonder if Krishna, if he's God, if he's going to give us liberation and maybe bring us there. So Krishna was thinking about this. Iti Sanchint, is this whistling, or is it something else that's creating that whistling sound? No, the fan is a different thing, but something's creating a high-pitched whistle. Okay, we'll leave it. Iti Sanchintya Bhagavan. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You hear that? There's a whistling sound, like a higher whistle. Where's that coming from? It's not the fan. Fan is a different thing. Fan is a low-pitched sound. It's not the fan. No, it's not the sparrows either. Anyway, we're better off maybe the fan, putting off the fan helps a little bit anyway. Iti Sanchintya Bhagavan Mahakarunika Harihi. So being exceedingly merciful, Darshayama Salokam Swam, the Lord showed the Vaikuntha world. Dhamna Sraina Sada Nirastakuvakam. Beyond this world, is the spiritual world, the yasas sarveshu bhuteshu nashatu navinashati that we discussed. Natad pasyate suryo na shashanko napavaga tad dhamma paramam nama. So Gopanam, to the cowherd people, the Lord showed the spiritual world, tamasapadam. He didn't show something of this material creation. Adityavarnam tamasapadastat. Beyond this world is the spiritual world. Generally, people don't know it. They take this world as everything, or they have some idea of heavenly planets. But they have no clear information of the spiritual sky and the abode of the Lord. They really don't. Even if they have some conception of heaven, their religious doctrines that have some idea of heaven, but usually the idea is that it's a place where you go and enjoy better sense gratification. That by the grace of God, you can eternally enjoy happiness. But the picture is mostly that you enjoy happiness on your own. There's one religious group, they produce tracts, and it shows kind of a nice bungalow, and there's a happy couple there. They've attained the spiritual world, the heaven. They've attained heaven. But from Srimad Bhagavatam, we understand that Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead, in Goloka Vrindavan is there with devotees who take the form of cowherd boys and cowherd people, elderly cowherd people, cowherd girls, or cows and other forms. And they're engaged in eternal service to the Lord. That picture, I don't know where else we find it, every place else. Either after death everything is finished, or after death you can go to a higher planet, or after death you go to heaven and enjoy. But from Bhagavatam, one leaves this world, one performs service in this world, not as a way of earning one's way to heaven, but because that's our eternal nature, to serve. So we serve in this world, we serve in that world. There may be some hint that the angels serve God in heaven, but there's not much information. Gopanam tamasaparam. So darshayam asa. The Lord showed that world. Srila Bishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has relevant comments. The Lord was thinking, I will show the superiority of Vrindavan by giving them realization of Brahma and Vaikuntha. So he showed them Brahma, Swam, and Vaikuntha, Lokam. Separating the cowherd men from Vrindavan for a few moments, he showed them Brahman and Vaikuntha. He did this because he was most merciful. That is, he wanted to show them that the sweetness of Vrindavan was superior to Brahma and Vaikuntha. So, as we were discussing yesterday, the cowherd men were wondering, are we going to get liberation? Will we attain mukti? Or will we go to Vaikuntha, Krishna's God? Will he give us these things? So Krishna showed them both things, the impersonal Brahma and the Vaikuntha. However, if they achieved Brahma realization with Sayuja, or merging, then it would be impossible for them to come out of it. Once you've merged, you're merged. how would it be possible for them to taste again the sweetness of Vrindavan? Because the Lord is Vibhu, all-powerful. He could take them out of Sayuja Mukti and Vaikuntha, which are both beyond matter, tamasa parastat. So this is, was Krishna's purpose. They were thinking that let us see if we are going to be promoted to those higher destinations. But Krishna showed them that your own place where you are now, that's higher than Vaikuntha, certainly higher than the impersonal Brahma, because there's a sweetness in Vrindavan not available anywhere else. And as pointed out, Sayuja means everything's lost, we lose our identity, we have no reason to serve. But Krishna, by his mystic potencies, by his all-powerful energies, he dipped the Vrajvasis into Brahma and showed them Vaikuntha just for a moment, all right, and then brought them back to Vrindavan. Maha Karunika. That's the real mercy. They were thinking, if he's God, maybe he'll be merciful and give us liberation or promote us to Vaikuntha. But he's more than merciful, Maha Karunika, most merciful. So he showed them the scene for a few moments, then back to Vrindavan. Back to Vrindavan. All right. Are there some questions? Yes. Devaki Nandan Prabhu.
This is Darsayam Asa. So I have a few questions. Darsaya means, did he give them a transcendental eyes? Did he give them transcendental eyes like he did to Arjun?
They already had transcendental eyes. That's why they could see Vrindavan. But he arranged to show them this vision, just as Krishna, Darshayam Asa Parthaya Paramam Rupa Maisha. Krishna showed Arjuna the universal form. So that means Krishna adjusted Arjuna's vision. Otherwise he was seeing Krishna, he was seeing Kurukshetra. But Krishna adjusted Arjuna's vision. So now he saw the universal form. So here also, Vrajvasis were the same. He didn't have to take them anywhere. But he, by some adjustment of their vision, Darshayamasa, he showed them Vaikuntha and Brahma also. Is that okay?
Yeah. Otherwise, I would think that Darsayamasa also can be that he explained or he told them, he told them about his transcendental abode, which is beyond the, he explained them and they understood.
Darsayamasa, but that's not indicated here. Darshayati, one sees. Drishyate.
Sometimes hearing also.
We see by hearing. That's also a fact. But here it's not mentioned that Krishna explained anything. They directly saw it. Just as Akrura saw Vaikuntha. He was bathing and came out of the Jamuna and saw. In the Jamuna he saw Mahavishnu, Krishna and Balaram were there. And Krishna turned into the Mahavishnu. Balaram had turned into the Sheshanag. So he was astonished. Then he came back to the chariot and he saw Krishna, Balaram are still sitting there. And Krishna asked, did you see anything interesting? When I've seen you, I've seen everything.
Third one is like Krishna took the hand of Brahma
to
so that, you know, saw him about Vaikuntha and, you know, his planet.
Showed him.
In third kind of Bhagavatam, it says that Krishna took the hand of Paninam Pani. He took the, shake the hand of Brahma and he took and showed the...
And showed him, you know, everything.
Vaikuntha.
Yes.
So that kind of Darshaya Masa.
Darshaya Masa. Yeah. So, directly showing. They say seeing is believing. Of course, we disparage. Hearing is believing. But he showed them. Yes. You can see.
And third word, fourth word, the last one. Gopanam tamasa param. I mean, tamasa param is okay. This beyond the material world. His transcendental abode is transcendental. Tamasa param. But if you go into Gopanam tamasa param, it appears like the Gopas were also in mood of ignorance and the Lord showed them transcendental abode, you know, to them.
Yeah, I thought about that, whether tamasup, if you apply the grammar the way Srila Prabhupada appears to apply it, is lokam svam tamasup para, that supreme abode which is beyond tamasa. But if you want, gopanam tamasa param, the gopas were transcendental too. He showed it to the gopas who were also tamasa param. I don't know if that's grammatically legitimate. It seems like it might be.
No, that can be.
Yeah. So gopanam tamasa param. He didn't show it to anyone and everyone. He showed it to the gopas who were tamasa param. They were already transcendentally situated.
Or can it also be that the gopas, they were bewildered at one point that who is Krishna? Is he Narayan? In this earlier pastime after Govardhan Leela, you know, Nand Baba had to explain to them that what Garga Chai told. So they were in tamasa, that who is their builder?
I don't see any verb there like that. You know, then you'd expect a verb. He lifted them above tamas, or he, you know, something that said that. But it's just an adjective, beyond tamasa param, beyond ignorance. It doesn't say he brought them beyond ignorance, or lifted them beyond ignorance, or promoted them or something. No verb.
No, I was talking about the gopaj, the cowherd.
Yeah, man. I'm saying there's no verb there other than darshayamasa. Darshayamasa gopanam. So he showed the gopas the lokams from his own planet. And this adjective phrase, tamasaparam, you can apply it to Swam, lokam swam, or apply it to the gopas as an adjective, but there's no verb that he brought them to a state beyond tamas. Then you could do that too and say he brought his abode to be beyond tamas, but it's always beyond tamas. And the gopas are also, they're already beyond tamas. And so I don't see any grammatical indication for that. Yes, sir.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. But my question is regarding this verse, Aruya Krishna Parampadam Tataha. So in the translation, Prabhupada writes that they think themselves to be liberated.
If you hold that closer.
They think themselves to be liberated. It is not mentioned that they are liberated and then they fall down. So means in their own imagination, they think that I am liberated and then they fall down to social activities. So what is the actual reality? Because several places, other places we
Vimuktamani now. They think that they're perfectly liberated. They're liberated. Param padam. Tataha patanti. Otherwise, how could they fall from param padam? They must have achieved param padam. Otherwise, they couldn't fall from it. Right? Param padam tataha patanti. They fall from the param padam, the impersonal Brahmajyoti. So they weren't just thinking that they achieved it. They achieved it. Otherwise, they couldn't have fallen from it. But vimukti manina, they think this is the perfection of liberation. No, this is only kindergarten liberation. This is the inferior form of liberation. Vimukti. Vimukti is going back home, back to Godhead. Perfect liberation. Intense liberation. It's going back to the spiritual sky, maintaining your individuality and serving Krishna. That's vimukti. Mahat sevam dwaram ahur vimukte. By serving pure devotees, one can attain the spiritual planets. Vaikuntha or Goloka Vrindavan. That's perfect liberation. But these people, Yushmarangraya, Anadrita Yushmarangraya, they neglect the lotus feet of the Lord because they're afraid of personal identity. Personal identity means Maya. That's probably called that cow in the barn philosophy. You know the cow in the barn philosophy? The cow, once there was a fire in the barn, now whenever the cow sees red, she thinks it's fire. So the Mayavadis had bad experience of personal existence. It's painful, it's miserable, it's full of anxieties, full of Maya. So that's their experience of personhood. So they think that if in liberation there's personality, then that would spoil everything. So that's their idea. They think that they're perfectly liberated. Tvayasta bhava avishuddha bhutaya, but their intelligence is not completely pure. And therefore, even after undergoing so much trouble, aruya krishchena param padam, they attain the supreme brahmajyoti. But patanti, they fall down again because they neglect the lotus feet of Krishna.
So in this explanation, one thing also in this explanation, one thing also confuses me is that mind, intelligence, ego, as we say, that these are the coverings of the universe.
If you speak at about half the speed, I might possibly hear half of what you're saying.
So, in this explanation, the confusion arises that intelligence, ego, mind, these subtle coverings, these are also the coverings of the universe. And a soul which leaves the universe, he has to get rid of these coverings and then only it can enter the Brahman. So then contaminated intelligence in the Brahman Jyoti, which makes them fall down, how do we understand this?
Their problem is not that they're contaminated. Their problem is that they're not situated in their healthy condition. Like a person in the hospital. He had a disease. Now he's cured. He's lying in the hospital bed. He's not diseased. But if he doesn't get up out of the bed and start doing his ordinary activities, what's going to happen? He'll again relapse. He's not diseased, but he's not healthy. Healthy means you go back to work, you have sex again, you eat, you know, all of those things. But he's not doing that. That means even though he's not diseased, he's not in health. You can't just lie there in the hospital bed forever. Either you have to resume your healthy life or you're going to resume your diseased life. That's their position. They're freed from false ego, all of everything, but they haven't accepted the position of eternal servitude to Krishna, and therefore they're not in their constitutional position. Therefore, they fall down again. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, my question is about, like, basically I face a difficulty of this two types of lust, Maharaj. First is that when I am in association of Vaishnavas.
Association of?
Vaishnavas, devotees.
Vaishnava.
So, when I am in association of devotees, this subtle lust of pratistha, so that comes. Like, whenever I do service to any devotees, this pratistha, it comes in my mind. Even I heard the lectures of my aspiring spiritual master, but still, when the attack comes, it happens and I am defeated, then those lecture thoughts comes. But the point is that I am already defeated, because that pratistha had already come to me at that point of time. So, this is one type of lust that I face in association of devotees. But when I am not in association of devotees, when I go for my work and my job, at that time, Maharaj, the second type of lust, that is gross lust, basically, Maya gives so many distractions to me in forms of so many ladies or whatever. Again, I am like, whenever I go to my office, come, I always try to do chanting and hearing the lectures. But the problem is that when the impressions comes at that point of time in my mind of any distraction that is given by Maya, the point is that I am at that point of time defeated again. And this comes in my mind. After some times, I get the impression of my lectures that I had heard. So, my Maharaj, my question is that even I heard the lecture of Ajamila, Indira Maharaj, whatever they had done, like so many, this type of series of kathas. But the problem is that every day I have to face these two lusts and I am always defeating Maharaj. So, how then I can understand, how can come out from it?
A few thoughts come to mind. The first thing is tamstitiksha subharata. Due to past impressions, some lusty thought is there. And then we catch our mind and we say, oh, you stupid mind. Just agitating. Go away. Stop your nonsense. So that means tolerate. So anything, there, we have to tolerate. You wait for a bus. Why is it taking so long? Why is it taking so long? Why is it taking so long? But you have to tolerate. Why is it, you know, the weather is unpleasant and still I have to wait. Whatever it is, we have to tolerate. Or there's some person, you know, we have to do business with him, but he's so talkative. He just wants to, as they say, talk your ear off. You know, talking, talking, talking. But we tolerate because we want to get the work done. Or something else about him is obnoxious. You know, he's egotistical. But all right, you know, we listen to him talk about himself for a little while. And then we accomplish our business. So tolerating. Or shitoshna sukadukada. We tolerate some misery. We tolerate some heat and cold and so on. So that's the first thing. All right, due to my conditioned nature since time immemorial, these thoughts are coming. But all right, I'll chase them every day. You know, it's like cleaning. You can't just clean a room once. You clean it and you come back the next day. Again, you have to clean it. Again, the next day. Again, the next day. Cleaning, cleaning. That's what we have to do. If we want to use the room, the office, we have to clean it every day. All right, let me tolerate that. So that's one answer. Tamstitiksha. Not that because there's agitation, I have to give up or I have to give in. And all right, some nonsense is there. Take the broom again, hit the mind again. So that's one thought. Another thought is, when you're associating with the devotees, you feel subtle lust. When you're not associating, then gross lust. Then always associate with the devotees.
But Maharaj, like, I have the responsibility, like, I'm a 22-year-old boy. I'm a 22-year-old boy, I have to go...
How old? 22.
So I have to go for a job, like, it's my starting of my career.
Why are you going for the job?
Because of my parents, Maharaj, like, they are anti with ISKCON, they don't know, but...
They don't like ISKCON. Well, I do like ISKCON.
They don't understand Maharaj, so they don't understand Maharaj, so I have to...
Yeah, and if you move into the temple, they may not understand that either. So, it's not... Finally, Krishna says, Sarva Dharman Pratyajya, Mamekam Sharanam Vraja. My parents may or may not like, but finally, if Krishna likes it, that's more important than what they like. So, that's another thought. Just like all these boys, they all have parents. I also have had parents. But somehow or other, we thought there was something more important than serving our parents. And so we took up that line.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, my class is related to the second last question of Adhoshkaj Krishna Prabhu. My question is related to mukti that we were explaining just now. As you explained, the mukti, kindergarten mukti, that is explained in the A Anya Arvindaksha Shloka, the 10th canto, 2nd chapter, 32nd verse. And we see in the pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Sarvam Bhattacharya, he recites this verse of Tatyanukampam, and in that there is Mukti Padesa Daibhak. He edits and he says Bhakti Padesa Daibhak. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, no, Mukti is perfect word there, you cannot change it. So, can we say the word Mukti mentioned there?
Can we say what?
The word Mukti mentioned there in that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which he is explaining, that is the perfection of liberation, taking shelter of Krishna, his lotus feet, taking shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, is the perfection of liberation. So two words, Mukti, earlier mentioned in verse, Aravindaksha verse, and the Mukti mentioned in the second Brahma's prayers, 10th canto, 14th chapter, 8th verse. So these two words, Mukti, the same Mukti word is there. But the second word Mukti that explains this is the perfection, and the first word which is like kindergarten Mukti.
For that I'd have to be, to answer such a complicated question, does it mean this and this verse and that verse? I have to sit here and look at both verses. I can't answer that from the top of my head. Does it mean this in this verse? Does it mean that verse? I'd have to sit and look at both verses and... It's just, you know, the way it is. I can't just answer a question like that out of the air.
My question is, Maharaj, how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains him that this is the perfect?
Did you hear that? Okay, tell me what he said. Yeah. You're asking the same question again, comparing the meaning of mukti in one verse with the meaning of mukti in the other verse. If you would like to bring both verses and put them on the table in front of me, I'd be happy to answer your question.
Now, Maharaj, as you have edited Srimad Prabhupada books, so just...
But I didn't change Mukti Pade to Bhakti Pade.
No.
Okay, I just wanted you to know that.
So, Maharaj, can you give some guidelines when we also read Prabhupada books? So, how should be our reading or making notes or...
How to do what?
How should be our reading, studying the Prabhupada books? What?
One page at a time.
Yes, Maharaj?
One page at a time.
One page at a time.
I don't have any magic formula how to read or recommended formula how to read. You study, you consider. Our Bhurijan Prabhu, my godbrother, says that we should read prayerfully. That Krishna is appearing in the form of these verses, in the form of these purports, so that we should be praying to Krishna, please give me your mercy so that I can understand something from these verses. Read slowly enough so that you get to think about what you're reading, not just the word covering 60 pages a day. He learns to speed read. He reads Mahabharata in an afternoon. And someone says, really, you read Mahabharata just in one afternoon? He says, yes. It was about India. So you want to read slowly and carefully enough so that you get the chance to consider the subject matter. Sometimes it's recommended that we should study in association. Chanakya Pandit gives some verse that if you're going to have a war, you should have a lot of people. If you're going to, what else, do a yajna, you should have like 5 people or something. And if you're going to do travel, 5 people. And then agriculture, like 3 or 4 people. And if you want to study, you should have 2 people. Because one will, by the association of someone else, your thoughts are stimulated. So he sometimes says that. And I remember Prabhupada quoting it that you make war with many and you study with 2 and you eat by yourself. So that's another thought, that when we study with other devotees, then bodhyanta parasparam, we exchange ideas. And that's another way of studying. So courses, careful reading, or if you're preparing for something, if you have to write something or preach something, then you have to study very carefully. Translators, they have to study very carefully.
Usually, in order to go to back home, back to Godhead, or, as he said, lokam swayam tamasa param, in order to go back home, back to Godhead, there is a process, one has to follow. But here, Brajavasi, they got Maha Karanyoko Hari. So please, can you shed more light on this Maha Karanyoko?
The Maha Karunika, Krishna's the most merciful, not because he showed them Vaikuntha or Brahman, but because he was granting them his eternal association in Goloka Vrindavan. That was the real mercy, was not Vaikuntha. They were getting better than Vaikuntha already. But just out of mercy, he showed them that I've already given you something better. Just like sometimes we buy something, we've already purchased it, and then we think, well, maybe I should have purchased this other one. And then the salesman shows you, yes, we do have this other one, but you got the better one. Huh? So Krishna is showing them that, yeah, there's Vaikuntha. You can see, but it's not as sweet as Goloka Vrindavan. So that's the real mercy. He showed them how sweet. He showed them the sweetness of Vrindavan. Is that okay? What are you looking for? Out of kindness, the Lord showed. One thing is that he showed them, but then showed them the way out also, or he just dipped them in and brought them out. It's not that he was merciful. All right, you want to see Vaikuntha? I'll send you to Vaikuntha. Live there. If you're interested in Vaikuntha, why should you stay here in Vrindavan? Go to Vaikuntha. Krishna could have said, all right, that's what you want. I'll give it to you. But Mahakarunika, he's more merciful. He just showed them, all right, I'll give you a little glimpse of Vaikuntha, and then you'll come back right away. That's merciful. The Lord was merciful to the demons. He gave them liberation. But he was more merciful to the Brajbasis. In fact, he was merciful even to Putana. But how merciful was he to the Gopanam, the Gopas, giving them his personal association? He became one of them. He became just like an ordinary friend for the Gopas. That can't even be imagined. People are thinking, if God is merciful, he'll bring me to heaven. Forget it. Krishna says, my mercy is I'll be your friend. And we can herd cows together, and we can have lunch together, and we can play games together, and we can kill a few demons in the course of the day. That kind of mercy Krishna doesn't give so easily. Even the residents of Vaikuntha can't imagine that kind of mercy. They think, what is this? And those who are after the impersonal liberation, they can't even imagine. What is that? What's the beginning of this verse? That Krita Punya Punja? Those who are after Brahma Sukha, Itam. They can't even imagine that these boys are playing. Even Brahma couldn't figure it out, that these are cowherd boys playing together. How is it that my Lord could be one of these cowherd boys? It was beyond his conception, although he's Adi Kavi, the greatest person. But Mahakarunika, being so merciful, Krishna shared himself with the cowherd boys.
His Mahakarunika is like the cowherd man. They wanted to see the transcendental abode of the Lord, or Lord showed them out of his causeless mercy to them, as he is, known.
It's not specifically mentioned that they wanted to see it, but they were wondering, if Krishna is God, is he going to give us liberation? They were just thinking about it. They had some culpa, that some imagination, well, maybe if Krishna is God, he might bring us to heaven, or that he might give us liberation. So Krishna thought about it, and just showed them the whole picture All right, you're interested in Brahma, you're interested in Vaikuntha, I'll show you the whole business. But I'll also show you that you're already in the best place.
So one way they are suffering because they were thinking about, you know, different thing other than Krishna, like Vaikuntha or Brahmajyoti or suffering. Mukti. You know, like Krishna is also known as Asrit Jana Dukharana, one who takes away the, you know, suffering of his Asrit. So the cowherd man, they were the dependent of the Lord, and that's why, you know, because Sanchintaya,
thinking,
thought it over, you know, what to do.
Yeah,
what
he's
to
thinking
do.
And thinking. That's Krishna, he's always thinking about his devotees. How to please the devotees, how to satisfy the devotees. Also, how to show something wonderful, that's part of Krishna's. He does many things, so one thing is show something wonderful for us.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Hare
Krishna. After this pastimes, all the Brajavasis, Gopi and Nand Yashoda, they had complete faith on Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme God. After this pastimes,
yes,
all Brajavasis, Nand Yashoda, Gopis, they had faith on Krishna. Krishna is the not ordinary boy.
They had faith that Krishna is... No. They forgot. This was just, Krishna showed them a little something. They thought, oh, maybe Krishna, he was so respectfully treated by Varuna. Maybe he's God. And maybe he'll give us liberation. So then Krishna showed, yes, I'm God. Here's Vaikuntha. Here's Brahma. Wow. Hey, Krishna, the cows are going this way. The cows are going that way. Just like Yashoda Mai, she's seeing all the universes. They're all in Krishna's mouth. Is this the mystic power of my son? So stop your nonsense, close your mouth, and don't eat dirt again. They forget. If they had permanent knowledge that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that would ruin everything. So just for a few moments, that's mentioned here. He showed them Vaikuntha in a few moments, that's all. Then they went back to their fun.
Thinking about the word iti means Krishna is going to start a different lila now, especially Ras Panchadhyay, from this.
Iti means in quotes.
Means finish. But he wanted to.
Iti means quote. Just like we say in commentaries, the commentator will say Rajavidya, Rajaguhyam, iti. That means
period.
Quoting.
Finish, yeah.
We use in English or Hindi, we use quote marks. But in Sanskrit, they use iti. Vadanti tat tatvavidas iti, itiadi, and so on.
Yeah.
So iti, sanchincha, thinking in this way. So it refers to the previous verse. He was thinking as described in the previous verse.
Yeah, we are seeing from next chapter, they start Ras Panchadhyay.
Yeah.
You know, so that is totally different.
Yeah.
So maybe Krishna wanted that, hey, come in this mood now, that is okay. Killing the demon, this one, that one is over. Now we are entering in different chapter. So iti sanchintayan.
No. The iti here doesn't indicate, as far as I can see, a change of topic. It just indicates that thus, that's one translation of iti, thus, or end of quote. Krishna was thinking in this way, iti. And because he was thinking in this way, he did this, he showed them Vaikuntha, he showed them. But it doesn't serve as a topic changer to introduce the next.
Actually, in Hindi, they say iti means biti, means something which is done. They're like itihas. They say itihas. So now this is over. I'm taking you somewhere else now. Mm. So in that sense comes iti.
Mm. Yeah. But of course, Sanskrit's not Hindi.
I mean, in Sanskrit also, atha and iti, atha starts with for beginning and iti for something ending.
Atta is something that's beginning. Yeah, but the something that's ending here, as far as I can tell, is just what he's thinking in the previous verse. That's what's ended. Accepting that iti means, okay, now we've reached the end. But what have we reached the end of? We haven't reached the end of the chapter. It keeps going for a few verses, right? But iti here means... Let's see if they comment on it. Yeah, the commentators don't even care say anything about iti. In fact, the in the next verse, the pastime keeps going. Krishna revealed the indestructible spiritual effulgence. That's the next verse. And then what happens in the next verse? Too many pages. And then Krishna brought them to Brahmahrad and submerged them in the water, and they were able to see what Akrura saw. So it's not over. It's not over. All that's over is what he was thinking. Sanchintya iti. He was thinking as described. And so now here's what he does about it.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. So here, for Yashoda, Krishna showed the universal form. For Arjuna also, he showed the universal form. And immediately he withdrawn.
I can't hear you either. Speak up.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. So here he showed the lokas to the gopanas. So even it happens in our practical life, in my practical life, even it happens to us.
It happened in your practical life too?
Suddenly when we come in front of the deities, we feel a shift of whole atmosphere.
And when that's also there.
When we are absorbed in some service, we shift off complete consciousness. Mm. But suddenly, again, we come back to a normal routine life. We understand here, they are all Vrindavanvasis. They are already in the love. But we are, means myself, not in love. But how it is Mahakarunika, that bringing back to the normal routine life.
That also has to happen. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he goes into ecstasy. But at some point, it finishes. And then he goes, takes his bath, and takes his meal, and all of that. Because it's not sustainable. You can't live that way all the time. Although for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's extraordinary. He's practically always in one ecstatic state after another. But these things you can't, like shivering of the body, tears from the eyes, fading of the bodily limbs and all, you can't go on like that.
Generally we aspire for that, right?
Hmm?
Generally we aspire for that constant devotion.
We aspire for that, but Narottam, just talk or when will there be shivering in the body and while chanting? But not that, when 24 hours a day will I be shivering that's there has to be, that's not, it doesn't work that way. There has to be normal functioning. Just like Srila Prabhupada one time, he was sitting in the New York temple, he finished the Bhagavatam class, and he got up to go to his apartment, which was, you know, that far away. He's sitting here, the door is over there, not even that far, and he'll go through the door and retire to his apartment. But when he got up, he's sitting here, Radha Govinda are there, door is here, and when he got up, Bharat Raj Prabhu began chanting. And Prabhupada just became stunned. He didn't finish standing up. He was just frozen where he was. And Bharat just chanting and Prabhupada seeing Radha Govinda, and Prabhupada just became stunned. And the whole room became like influenced. And then Prabhupada's standing there and Bharat is chanting. And then the pujari closed the curtain. And Prabhupada got up and went to his apartment. So sometimes these things are experienced, sometimes they overflow, sometimes they become manifest even. But they're not continuously displayed. These are different kinds of ecstasy. There's bhav, vibhav, shamshari bhav, different kinds of ecstatic. So one is vibhav, vyabhachari bhav, disturbing symptoms. So those disturbing symptoms may sometimes be there. But they come and go. But the steady, stayi bhav, the steady emotion is always there. So like Yashoda Mai, sometimes she just wants to rush into the Kaliya lake and either rescue Krishna or kill herself or whatever it is, but she's she has to be held back. But she's not always feeling like that. But what's the steady emotion? Her love for Krishna as her son. That's steady. And the other things, they come, they go, they add flavor in different ways. So, of course, we may not be on that platform of ecstatic love, but even on our platform, sometimes we'll feel some extra enthusiasm or some extra appreciation of the holy name or the form of the Lord or some other aspect of Krishna. So that's taken as Krishna's mercy. That Krishna showed us something, Krishna gave us some taste. And the less advanced devotees or sentimental devotees, that's all they're in it for. You know, I always have to be experiencing something. There has to be some ecstasy. Otherwise, you know, I felt ecstasy for the first week, but after that I didn't really feel anything, and so I went back to my mother. But the devotees who have understanding, they see that the real thing is to be engaged in Krishna's service. And sometimes I may feel some ecstasy, sometimes I may feel some disappointment, sometimes I may feel this, sometimes I may feel that. But the steady thing is that I'm Krishna's servant. So let me be engaged always in Krishna's service.
How can we see in this connection pastime of Dhruva?
How can we see? I can't hear you either. Uh, How can we see it?
In this connection, pastime of Dhruva Maharaj.
What aspect of it are you asking?
Dhruva Maharaj, he got darshan of Lord, and then again he came to platform where he was started killing, who killed his brother.
So he got darshan of the Lord, and so that's there. Sometimes he got the darshan of the Lord, but he was always engaged in the service of the Lord. Of course, by Krishna's influence, this pastime took place. He was overdoing it with the yakshas. And then Lord Krishna came and gave him some instruction. Nard Muni, rather, and Brahma gave him some instruction. But he was always, that was the blessing, that you'll be engaged for so many thousands of years, and you'll always remember me. So, Dhruva Maharaj was doing that.
So, is there a material activity, what Dhruva Maharaj was doing?
Material activity? No. No, his material life was over.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. So, Maharaj, I have a question that even after reading Bhagavad Gita, why the Mayavadis cannot accept Krishna as a Supreme Personality?
Because they're offenders. Mayavadi hoy Krishna paradhi. Because of their stubborn obstinacy. They're so averse to devotional service. You know, that's called stubbornness. Like, I know of some... There's a legal argument that someone has made. We were talking about it the other day. There's a legal argument that somebody has made. The argument is totally bogus. But they're attached to that argument. And you show them, no, here's the decision from the Supreme Court of India showing that you're wrong. No! The Supreme Court plainly said, you're wrong. But they can't admit it. Because they're so attached to the conclusion that they had that even the Supreme Court, evidence from the Supreme Court itself isn't good enough. So even Bhagavad Gita, even Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God, you're wrong. No, I'm right. That's called stubborn obstinacy. And causeless unwillingness. We're unwilling to surrender to Krishna. So we even if we read the best argument, no, it doesn't say that. All right, time is over. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Okay.